And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Petersburg's Catholic Church caught fire yesterday afternoon in a blaze that continued for nearly 10 hours. KFSK's Thomas Copeland has the story.
Don Koenigs has attended St. Catherine's of Siena Catholic Church for over 40 years. He was one of just two parishioners at midday mass on Thursday.
I saw smoke while I was inside from the skylight in the church. We were just ready to receive Holy Communion. I looked up and I saw smoke billowing up above. So I ran out of the church immediately and could see that the church was on fire. I ran in and told Father, we were called 911, and I said, you have to take Jesus out of the tabernacle.
At 12:29 p.m., emergency dispatch received multiple calls as neighbours and passers-by caught sight of the flames. Fire, EMS, search and rescue, and law enforcement were all on the scene within minutes. As the firefighters tackled the blaze, smoke billowed from St. Catherine's down into Petersburg. At Petersburg Medical Center, CEO Phil Hofstetter saw the smoke as it blew down the hill to the clinic.
It was almost like it was porous. It went right through the building.
And that meant scores of appointments were quickly canceled.
Well, we closed all our non-essential services right now, and we sent staff home. We put in some air scrubbers into the different units for long-term care.
Back at St. Catherine's, crowds gathered as the church roof began to cave in, and its spire buckled under the heat of the flames.
Bringing tears to my eyes earlier.
I've never seen anything like this. Lived here 48 years.
It's going to be tough on all the parishioners there and stuff. They're going to need a lot of community support.
Among the onlookers stood Father Jose. This is his first year at St. Catherine's.
It's so heartbreaking. But we will survive, you know, that's our hope. And I want to thank all the fire department works. They are working hard to control this fire.
As the first hour rolled on, more volunteers arrived on the scene. Some, like Taylor Norheim, even raced in from the water to fight the fire.
I got here late even. I was out on the boat. I had to go cancel work for the day because if I didn't do it and nobody was doing it, somebody's got to do it.
The Petersburg Fire Department has to rely on volunteers, many with full-time jobs like Norheim. And Fire Department spokesperson Dave Berg said that means when a massive blaze like this occurs, the worst he's seen in a quarter century, they can find themselves with just a skeleton crew.
We showed up with three engines. One engine came in with only a driver. It's capable of carrying a crew of six. And another engine came in short-staffed also.
Do you think you could have saved more of the church if you had more volunteers?
Oh, I think so, yeah. Our volunteer staff has been declining over the years. There's just, people don't seem to be as interested in either fire service or volunteering as a whole.
And Aaron Hankins, the director of fire and EMS, said in a race against time, fewer volunteers can have a massive impact.
Would you have done this operation differently if you'd had more volunteers, Aaron?
We might have been able to get up on the roof before the entire thing was compromised, but by the time we got access and had enough volunteers to do it, it was kind of not really safe to go on there.
As the afternoon turned to evening, the flames died down, but refused to die out. 4-inch thick wooden beams, tightly layered on the roof of the sanctuary, blocked the hoses from extinguishing the flames smouldering underneath. And the attic of the fellowship was just as hard to reach. And so the chainsaws came out to carve up chunks of timber to allow for a way for the water to get in.
So I think for this week...
Across a car park in the Parks and Rec Gymnasium, the St. Catherine's congregation gathered for communion, prayer, and to plan for the days ahead. Father Jose was living at the back of the church before it burned down. And in a brief moment of levity, he told the parishioners he just brought home some groceries.
I was about to cook today. I just brought some pork. And I served for it. I think, maybe roasted now with the fire.
The congregation hopes to assemble for Mass this weekend in the grotto next to the burnt-out church. But they don't yet know what can be salvaged from inside. As the parishioners left the gymnasium, they stopped to watch the firefighters still battling the stubborn flames burning in the church roof. It was past 10 p.m. when the final hose was turned off. Just one injury among the multi-agency army of Petersburg volunteers, a broken finger in the fire crew. The cause of the blaze will be investigated in the days and weeks to come by local and state fire marshals. But for now, St. Catherine's of Siena is reduced to a shell. In Petersburg, I'm Thomas Copeland.
Fishing, camping, kayaking, and a year of all-expenses-paid living. That's off a poster from the Karluk Tribal Council that went viral last week. They're looking to pay two families with four children each to move to their village in an effort to get state funding and reestablish a school. As KMXT's Brian Manua reports, since then, the tribe has received thousands of inquiries from all around the world.
Within a week, between 4,000 and 5,000 people responded to the poster. Catherine Reft is the Karluk Tribal Council's secretary and treasurer. She says they never could have anticipated the response.
We just figured we'd try to do something like this just to see if we'd get any kind of attention. We never knew it was going to blow up to be this huge.
The native village of Karluk is on the southwest end of Kodiak Island. The village has less than 50 year-round residents. There's two children there now, but villages need at least 10 students in order for the state of Alaska to fund a school. That's why the tribe is looking for two families with four children each to move there. Reft says the remote village has been looking to grow for a while now.
We had our feelers out there. We tried going through agencies, and we just couldn't find any interest. And then somebody brought up, why don't we get a poster out there? And that's what we did.
The tribe has heard from families across the country, as far as Florida, and even internationally from Canada and the Philippines about its ad.
Our main focus right now is to get to have the 10 students here in Karluk.
Karluk's school closed back in 2018 due to low enrollment and continued to dwindle since. The Kodiak Island Borough has kept maintaining the former school building by paying for its heat and electricity. Borough staff recently visited the building to assess its condition, and with minor maintenance, it could reopen and host classes again. In order to get more students, the tribe is willing to pay housing, utilities, moving expenses, and even a food stipend for a full year. For the right family, they'll also train them for jobs to become a more permanent fixture in the community. Cindy Mika is the Kodiak Island Borough School District Superintendent. She says the district was caught off guard by the poster, but is open to helping the village.
If they make those 10 students, then, you know, we'll have to do something. But, you know, at this point, it's going to be very difficult staffing it at this late of a date. And it's not part of this budget at all.
KIBSD struggled to fill rural positions last year and faced huge budget cuts last month. Mika says she understands the struggle Karluk is facing without a school.
I know that the villages need schools and that the schools are what makes them be able to grow in population. It's really hard to grow if you don't have a school for your students or your children out there.
The clock is ticking, though. The state counts student populations for schools in October. Reft, the tribe's secretary and treasurer, says they hope to bring new families soon.
We're going to try to get families here before the end of August, before the school year. Have them settled in their house and ready for school.
The tribal council will start looking over applications next week. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
Meanwhile, Alaska school districts that are remote may need to pay substantially more to attract and retain teachers. That's according to a new study from the University of Alaska. The study uses data from the state's education department that was gathered while Governor Bill Walker was in office. It shows that compensation does matter when it comes to recruitment and retention. The results showed that pay rates were adequate to hire and keep teachers in the state's urban and suburban school districts, but rural communities may need to pay substantially more, in some cases up to twice as much. According to the study, if the average Alaska teacher salary is around $60,000 a year, it could take a salary of up to $120,000 to recruit and retain teachers in a rural district. That's especially true in western and northern Alaska. The researchers behind the study believe it could have major implications for the state's foundation funding formula. It's the method Alaska's government uses to try and equitably fund school districts with different costs and challenges. The state generally awards more money to cover the higher operation costs for rural districts, but that funding may not be enough to create competitive salaries. For more stories, check out ktoo.org.
Thank you.